I work in archives in RTE. It's an enormous collection of hundreds of thousands of tapes going back to the 1920s. They're on big shelves and wheels. But my first contact with tape archives was a lot more modest. A box of cassette tapes like this that was in my childhood home. My parents had emigrated to Australia in the 1970s, before I was born. And as well as writing letters, they and their families in Clare and Offaly sent audio cassette tapes back and forth to each other.
This is Frances here, going to give you a little verse of a song. Last night as I lay dreaming of pleasure.
And nowadays we take cheap phone calls and voice notes for granted.
I'm just going to talk off the top of my head, and if what I say appears disjointed or I repeat myself, you'll understand.
But back then, it could be many years, if at all, that you heard the voices of loved ones separated by emigration.
I'm going up now to the shop for paper. While I'm away, I'm going to hand over to my elegant little wife, Martha.
Imagine how emotional it must have felt to get a tape in the post and hear the voices from your childhood home.
Hello, Eileen. How are you? I was delighted to hear your voice on the tape recorder.
Turned off after a hard morning's baking.
Brenda would like to open with her prayer.
Anana as the week, as the spirit believe, amen.
When I went to college, I made a project about my family's tapes and interviewed some of those involved.
And we had the tapes in the car, and it was so hot the tape melted.
Could you tell them how things were going on and how you were faring?
And you'd recognise the voice, like, which was great.
This prompted me to wonder if other families had done the same thing. So I put out the word.
Austin Kenny is in studio. It's all about cassette tapes that were posted from here to abroad to emigrants, and it's a period of seven.
With John Toole on BBC Radio Ulster and BBC Sounds.
You know, before FaceTime and WhatsApp and voice notes and all that, the idea of getting that cassette from home with everybody's in your house, it would be the highlight of your week to have got a cassette.
And then I was in contact with radio stations outside of Ireland.
Our guest now is Austin Kenny, and he's looking for people who made cassettes and sent them over to Ireland, or the other way around. They made the cassettes in Ireland and sent it, say, over here to New York to hear your relationship.
Welcome to Ireland Calling. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be talking to Australia.
And from those interviews, tapes came into me between families and emigres.
Hello, Eileen. I feel terrible for not writing before this, but I will be sending you some photos of the ordination.
For example, from people who had emigrated to Argentina.
Hola, soy Kathy, y aquí estoy en la casa de Antonio.
An Irish doctor working in Zambia.
The grass around my house had got really tall and I had to have it cut to keep the snakes at bay.
And as you'd expect, lots of tapes sent back and forth between here and the United States.
Thank God I got enough food in to last before the snow started.
But people didn't just send voice notes. They also recorded themselves playing music. And even sent sound effects.
The shed door still squeaks.
I'm Austin Kenny. From RTE Documentary on One, this is Voice Notes Before Voice Notes. Let's begin with the tapes that started this interest from me. Those between my mother and father in Australia and their families here. Why didn't they just ring each other? Well, back in the 1970s, a lot of people, especially in rural Ireland, didn't have phones. In fact, you sometimes needed a TD to get you a phone into your house. And if you did have a phone, international calls were so expensive that you only made phone calls rarely, and you kept them short.
Well, you just have to book a phone call.
This is my dad, Frank.
First of all, you'd send a letter home that you were going to ring on a certain day. and they'd be expecting your call, and you'd have to try and organise your times around, you know, with the time difference.
And even if you knew a call was coming through from Australia, you weren't guaranteed that the phone would be free.
You had to go down the town to the phone kiosk.
My dad's sister Frances recalls that she had to go down to the phone box at the harbour in Banagher.
And there could be somebody in it having a big chat. And you'd be panicking to get, you know. Or you'd be really, your heart would be going like pounding, and you'd have to ask the person, would the soon be finished? You know, you had an emergency call, like. Yeah, it was very, like, you think it was way back thousands of years ago, but it's only like 30 years ago.
Of course, sometimes a phone call had to be made, like if there was a death or a birth. In my family's case, my older brother Cormac had just been born in Melbourne.
That morning, there was great excitement.
My dad knew that a neighbour back home, Delia, had a phone, so he rang her with the good news.
She got someone to come down, they ran down, you're wanting on the phone, you're wanting, and look, by her ran. Ah, sure, it was great news, it was your dad. Cormac was after being born, and he told us what they were called, had a name and all for him, It was real exciting altogether, so I couldn't wait to get back down to tell them then, you know. So I don't think the conversation was too long, because I was mad to get away to tell it, you know.
So you can see why tapes were so popular. They conveyed emotion, and they were often easier to put together than letters.
All the way from Australia, I'd like a big round of applause for Frank Kenny.
Also in the late 60s, this new cassette technology came out, making it easier for people to buy recorders and record themselves at home.
Well, we dreamed up that one ourselves. We said that tape would be ideal, like, you know. So we wouldn't write as often then, but we'd send a tape. So they used to send tapes back in that.
They were only coming on, these tapes, like. You never heard of them now when I was younger, even. We wouldn't hear of them. It's just our uncle down the road, he was all into music and recording things.
In the leafy bowers, in the green fields round for band.
One more reason for tapes rather than letters.
He looked like a man with a foot in the grave and scarce the strength of a louse.
Party pieces.
When he shifted his big old jaw on the bar, he said, drinks for the house.
For Cork and Kilkenny in the All-Ireland hurling final of 1978.
Other sounds sent out were recorded off the radio, like the All-Ireland final.
Every Kilkenny man battling for the ball. Charlie McCarthy across the face of the goal and over the bar. A great point by Charlie McCarthy. So Cork bid for three in a row. Can they do it now with only seconds to go? The supporters, the mentors, the selectors, everybody wanting to run.
People reread letters from home with the scraps of news, and it was the same with tapes. People played them and replayed them just to hear the voices from home.
You know, you'd be looking forward to putting on the tape on your recorder there and listening to it, you know, and you keep those, of course.
Hello, Frank and Marta. This is Jack. I hope you're in a good form. We're in fair form here ourselves. Drinking plenty of porter. It's killing some of us and keeping more of us alive.
Just have a chat through the tape, like.
We're both sitting down here watching television. Colour television too, actually. The black really comes out brightly.
It was lovely to hear the tape and to hear the voices. It was like they were here, like.
We have very dull weather here presently. And we have an awful lot of new houses and new people. Everyone is very strange.
And hear your parents talking, you know.
This is Mam. Hope you are both well. We'll soon have the new potatoes. Pity you're not here to enjoy them. Are you still as fond of potatoes as ever, Frank? You used to love them hot or cold, and still you didn't put up the weight. Not like the rest of us.
Oh, I curse the day that I sailed away from the dear old Isle of Green.
The separation became too much. My parents returned home after 3 years.
Kids are all doing well. Barry's getting quite big now. He can talk and run around. Colin, he's as big a devil as ever.
In contrast, John McParlin didn't move home. He stayed in Connecticut and had his family there.
The time you hear this recording, Marie's pregnant again. In fact, she'll be practically having the baby by the time you hear this recording.
Barry, this is Marie. I've got all the family around me here. Barry, you want to say hello to your grannies at home?
Granny.
To your grannies, your two grannies? Eileen's wedding movie here, and it looks very nice.
This tape from 1961 includes a film.
It's just started.
John and his wife, Marie, record themselves and their children watching a wedding film sent to them from their family in Warren Point, County Down.
Our bouquet looks lovely. I suppose Vincey made it. Looks real nice. Oh, see Canadian Street? Just looks the same. John says that the same taxi we had. It looks just like it.
You can hear the longing in their voices as they point out the various people and scenes to their children.
Barry, do you see your Auntie Eileen? You remember Auntie Eileen, don't you? Don't you?
That's
it. And there's your cousin Lana, you see? Isn't she a pretty girl?
Yeah.
Oh boy, she has got big, hasn't she? Hmm? And that's your Uncle Vincey. That's your new uncle now. You like your Uncle Vincey?
Yeah.
Boy, there's your granddad, Barry. You just missed your granddad and your granny. Did you see them?
Oh, there's... Steve Brady's getting very fat. She'll soon be as broad as a house.
Oh. Oh, there's your Aunt Rosina too. And your Uncle Paddy and your Aunt Annie. And there's Mrs. McCann. Yes, that's Vince's mother. And I see Anne Grimes is there, Roisin Lamb, May. There's May, she's looking well. And this is Mrs. Prandy and all. I know a lot of these is to see, yes. And there's Vincey's sister. There's Phyllis, that's Gerald's wife. You know her? Hello, Phyllis. And say hello, Auntie Phyllis. That's another Auntie Phyllis. There's your Auntie Eileen going away on her honeymoon. You going to say bye-bye to your Auntie Eileen going on her honeymoon?
Bye-bye.
Say bye-bye. Hey, tell her to have a good time. Say have a good time.
You have a good time.
Enjoy your honeymoon.
Enjoy your
say bye-bye.
Honeymoon. Bye-bye.
Oh.
Barry, do you see that door? That's where your daddy used to live there, in that turn. Are you going to say hello, turn? Huh?
Hello, turn.
There's the house your daddy used to live in, right there. See? Your Auntie Lucy's going into it now.
Oh.
See that? Oh, there's your granny there. There's your daddy's mammy, look. Oh, there's Granny Lawless there too. And look, and there's your Uncle Eddie and your Uncle Bill too. See all them, huh? They're all driving away in your Uncle Eddie's car now. Say bye-bye. Say bye-bye.
They're all gone.
Yeah, oh, they're all gone, yeah. Say, they're all gone away now. Here at a picture of Warren Point that I took when I was over there on vacation. It makes me kind of homesick seeing all the nice scenery and everything else. Oh, there's the mountains of Mourne.
John McParland's in Connecticut.
And that's the barrack. Do you see the barrack with all the barbed wire around it, son?
What?
Huh?
What?
Oh, there's the house.
The barbed wire around the police station in the north is an image from that era, and these tapes bring us into the history of the time, almost incidentally.
After them. The best thing they could do now is to say,
here's an example from a tape that I got from Eddie Fay, who lives in Argentina.
Fred, when are you coming home to solve the six counties? It seems to be a bit of a problem. You know, actually, we are quite content because we're smuggling like damned hell here and making a fortune. So
this tape was sent to Eddie's uncle, Josie Duncan, in Argentina in the mid-60s.
Well done for the tape which you sent us. Of course, we haven't stopped playing it all the time since we got it. I think I know every word by heart.
It was sent from Josie's family in Mullingar, and it's a really good example of how some tapes were recorded at family get-togethers.
Well, now we still want everybody to talk on this, or try and drip it into a general conversation.
The machine was set up and people were asked to come to the microphone to say hello.
Hello, Fred. This session puts me in mind of a mission I attended once. They're all wondering what to say and what they won't say. But I was at this mission, and the missioner was rather giving this sermon, and he says, I want everyone to sing a hymn. Please, everyone sing. So a few started to sing, and he held up his hand, and he says, there's some who are singing and some who are not. So they all started singing again, and he held up his hand again, and he says, I repeat, there's some who are singing and some who are not. And there was a bloke beside me, and he says, you're right, Father. He says, there's a whore here beside me, and he never opened his mouth.
No.
Hello, Uncle Fred, Auntie Eileen, Uncle Jose, and all the families. I hope you're all well. I send you my love, Francis.
Hello.
Hello.
Love from Isha.
Hello, Eileen. How are you? I was delighted to hear your voice on the tape recorder. It's 17 years since you were home. That time when you were going away, we were trashing. Instead, I'll be back again next year. Doesn't time pass quickly? Well, I'm not a very eloquent speaker. All I can say is, like Mick Doctor, be gobbish and disagree with you.
Oh, aye. Huh? I don't like the Beatles at all. I heard you talking about the Beatles. I don't approve of them at all. I don't know. I think they have the country gone mad on the young people.
Well, here we are in Rocklands, enjoying ourselves. You wouldn't know whether it's the disintegration of the Tower of Babel or the last days in Hitler's bunker. There are all sorts of languages being spoken here, and we're not too good at the Spanish, you know, but we're coming on fast.
This is a reference to the fact that some of the children from Argentina were on holidays in Mullingar at the time.
You sent us a good representative here anyway when you went about it. Mary's a grand girl. It's a pity she can't talk to us at all in English. For Hector, we have a great time here with him. He can speak to us all right. And Lily also is a grand girl.
Hola, soy Kathy, y aquí estoy en la casa de Antonio. Y te mando todo mis amores y adiós.
Hello, this is Betty speaking. I want to say hello to Uncle Josie and his wife and children too. I am working in McDee's garage, and I like it very well. The same old Mullingar hasn't changed at all. I won't feel out like getting married, and I will go out to America on my honeymoon.
Weddings, just like with emigrants now, it's the big family occasions that are missed or to be looked forward to.
Imagine, ma'am, all the fuss and the panic. I mean, there'll be fuss and panic anyway, but the fact that I'm only arriving.
In the case of Mary Dively, she was living in Zambia, but she was going to make it home just in time for a family wedding in Manor Hamilton, County Leitrim.
Wedding on Friday and having to get a dress made. I really wouldn't know what size to say to get for me. I mean, at the moment I would think that I'm a good 14, but I'm hoping by June that I'll be down to a 12 or thereabouts. I wonder what style are you thinking of? I mean, after all, it will be June, and I'm hoping that I might have a bit of colour by then to show it off when I go home.
Mary's tape is full of news of her life in Zambia.
While I'm sitting here, it's just lashing rain outside. In fact, you may even hear the sound of the rain coming through. It makes such a terrific noise in the asbestos roof. But when it does come down, it's really, really heavy. And you get drenched in just a few minutes. But it's the kind of rain that you don't mind getting wet in. I mean, I'm still wearing flip-flops. I've only worn my Wellingtons maybe about 3 times. I don't mind my feet getting wet. I suppose it's because it's nowhere cold like it is at home. In your last letter, Dad, you asked about my garden. I have loads of pawpaw trees, strange to say, little minute things. Pawpaws now are very like melons, I suppose, really. They're yellow, about the same size as a melon, lovely soft centre full of seeds. And I used to just throw out the seeds out the kitchen window, not even deliberately plant them in the garden, just throw them out my kitchen window. And suddenly my garden was full of little pawpaw trees. In fact, I had so many that I had to dig up some of them and give lots away. I'm told it takes about 2 years before they bear any fruit. So, well, I won't be around myself to reap the reward. My successors will, and there should be no shortage of paupers.
At the time, Mary was working as a trainee hospital doctor in Katete, in the eastern part of Zambia.
Of course, this is probably the worst time of the year as regards food. There really is no food.
A lot of her news back to the family in Leitrim is quite stark.
Last year's food is gone at the end of the dry season, and this year's crops aren't ready yet. But last weekend, I was on duty, so I was doing rounds in children's wards, and it was really depressing, because in about, 60 beds or so, maybe six had some diseases, none related to malnutrition. So many of these children die that really shouldn't have to die. And I mean, these really are the lucky ones, the ones that have made it as far as hospital. In fact, I was half thinking of using Regina's £44 to buy some eggs for children's ward. They do get some eggs, but I think it works out at about an average of a half an egg per child per week. And I was calculating roughly, I think I would be able to buy about 500 eggs out of her money. Talking about death, I don't know, did I ever tell you about the wailers we have here? When somebody dies, they start off this racket in the wards. I suppose screeching, you could call it. It's a horrific sound, really. In fact, at night, you might waken up at night and you'll hear it all over the place if somebody has died during the night. And when you ask them about it, apparently it's a ritual that must be gone through, because if they don't wail for somebody, the spirits will come back and they'll persecute either the living relatives, those that didn't wail, or else persecute the dead person.
As well as sending news home from Zambia, Mary was craving news from outside of Zambia.
It's funny, you know, living here is like living on an island in many ways. You're so cut off from what's happening in the rest of the world. I really haven't a clue.
She tuned into shortwave radio.
I was quite surprised when I heard on BBC last night that it was Valentine's Day today.
But often, the news she got was bad.
Well, it's now Saturday night, and I've just heard the news here that 49 teenagers have died in a fire in Dublin at St. Valentine's Day dance. Gosh, I'm really shocked. I can't believe it. And that there are so many more critically ill. I wonder where did it happen? Was it in the television club or some of these places?
But what Mary really loved in Zambia in the early 1980s was print, newspapers and magazines, either posted out from home or given to her by missionaries she knew locally.
Just today I got a few recent copies of Newsweek magazine for Father Joe. It was the first time I'd seen any photographs of Ronald Reagan, the new president. And then yesterday, Regina sent a Sunday Press and Sunday World. I was really delighted to get it, and thanks awfully, Regina. Of course, I sat up half the night last night reading it. Read everything down to the ads, I think. The budget, 15 pence on petrol. Gosh, it's really frightening. Well, today I had a letter from Auntie Violet. You know, her letters are just as she speaks, I can almost hear her. I mean, she talks about Charlie Hoy thinking that we're all living in cuckoo land and this kind of thing. And telling me how Peggy Canavan won £25,000 and it took her to convince her that she really did win it. Well, it's Sunday the 22nd here now, just 2 weeks since I started this tape, so I hope to complete it tonight and post it tomorrow. I've just replayed the tape back and I realised that I've repeated myself several times. You see, I did it within 2 weeks, didn't do it all in one go, so that accounts for it, but I'm not going to go back and do it all over again.
Another Irish woman working abroad stayed abroad. She was Bridget Lynch from Newbridge, who was a nun in the United States in Texas. Her religious name was Sister Thomas Aquinas.
You'll hear such a little babby now, Sister Thomas. Baller.
There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled.
Her family sent her tapes in the early 1960s, including a nativity play they wrote and recorded.
We are sorry to trouble you, sir. My wife, Mary, and I have just arrived from Nazareth. We have searched all over Bethlehem for a place to stay, but nobody could put us up. We'd be grateful for even a box, any place, so long as we're out of the fold.
I don't know. It's pretty late, and I'm not sure that I have a vacant room.
It's not for myself to ask it, but for my wife, who is expecting her firstborn.
Oh, in that case, you'd better come in and sit by the fire until I see if we've got a room.
I'm imagining Sister Thomas sitting in her room, listening to these tapes over and over again. I'm wondering if they made her feel lonely hearing her family.
John is here now, Sister Thomas, and he's going to sing you a little song.
Or if they eased any loneliness she might have had.
Cold and stormy winter's night, slowly on the ground, a sailor boy stood on the quay, his ship was outward bound, his true love standing by his side.
Hello, dear Sister Thomas, this is Ehi. Thank God we are all in great form here. Only 27 grandchildren now. With City's new baby. If we were able to get them all together now, here, it would be a right rendezvous. The thumb knives is on the tape. We're doing this recording in your room to get away out of the knives down in the kitchen. The kids are absolutely gone mad.
Hello, Sister Thomas. This is Mary. It's very sad. We're talking like this, and at the same time, it's very nice to be able to do it. Now, Sister Thomas, I'm going to have Mary and Patricia say hello to you. First of all, Mary.
Thomas.
Hello about school. Where are you going to school?
I'm going to school now.
And now, Mary.
Hello, Sister Thomas. It's wonderful to be able to have this chance to talk to you. Since we sent a tape to your dad, we've sent one to my sister, who is in America too. And we've also sent one to some of the boys from this, who were with the soldiers in the Congo.
That's the little lad that you heard in the room ball in the last recording you got, Sister Thomas. The kids is all going in to have a sup of tea now, Sister Thomas. Myself and Christy will pass the time away playing a few more shows.
Then Sister Thomas was introduced to the family's budgie. They were having no success getting it to talk, but was happy to sing along with their music.
So goodbye now, Sister Thomas, and God bless you. Hoping we will see you all in 1965. That we'll be all here alive and well to greet you from your loving brother, Jack.
Tape sent to me by Anne Lynch, recorded by her family in the mid-60s. And sent out to their relation, Sister Thomas, in Texas.
Well, it's me again. Al and Lucy left this morning about 5 o'clock.
A few thousand kilometres north in Oregon was Fina Emerson, Nia O'Connor. She sent tapes back to her family in Skerries in the 70s and 80s.
Not often I get the house to myself like this, and when the two guys are around and I'm trying to record, it's a mess. They keep butting in and making...
Listen to the beeping in the background of one of the tapes.
Heard from you for a long time. Well,
we know what it is now, but back then, Fina had to explain to her family that it was a new invention, a video game.
That pinging noise you hear in the first part of this tape is a television ping pong handball combination game, and it makes a terrible racket. I spent was a Christmas day, listening to that the entire day Bob and Sean were playing it. But it's nice to have and long, cold, wet nights to play.
What's interesting about the tapes Fina sent back to Skerries is that she brings us right into what's going on in American life in the 1970s, from radio to religion.
Sean and three of his friends sent their name into one of the rock radio stations in Portland. And I'll be darned, on I think it was Saturday night, we were just sitting at the kitchen table talking, and we hear this big whoop come from his room, and he comes charging out and tells Al, "Grandpa, Grandpa, get out of my way, I got to get to the telephone. They just put my name on the radio." So he called in, and I don't know, they get some kind of Coke or something like that. There's four of them on the list. And then the drawing is on Wednesday for 4 10-speed bicycles. So I guess I'm going to have radio duty for an hour on Wednesday, just in case their names are called.
We had almost 30 inches of snow out here. This is the first winter in 5 years that I have missed Mass on at least one Sunday because of bad weather. It seemed to hit during a week.
Bob asked me a very interesting question one day. He said, "Do you follow the Pope or do you follow the bishops of the United States?" And on finding out how many divorced Catholics are remarrying and receiving sacraments, I can understand what he's talking about. The main word seems to be, especially among the middle-class working people and professional people, that you hear them steady stream of, "I am bored."
Then, the following year, 1977, Fina receives a tape from her sister Marie in Skerries.
"Mother's well now, thank God, and doing her garden. Now that the weather is good. It's very funny about her garden, Mother is. She has a man who comes over once a week. And I think, at least I gather from comments, it's a kind of a battle of wits between the pair. She wants it done one way and he has his idea about doing things. But anyway, it's getting done. They're laying down a little corner at the top of the barn. The garden's not very big, but big enough for her. Sunny is bored, and she's at the playgroup at the moment, but she's getting kind of bored and can't wait now to go to the big school, as she says. I might get around to getting them to send a message to you. I doubt it."
Hi, Marie and family. This is Fina again, finally getting around to getting a tape out to you.
And 3 years later, in 1980, Fina sends another tape back to Skerries from Oregon. She opens with some big local news. The volcano, Mount St. Helens, has just erupted in nearby Washington State.
Our good old gal, Mount St. Helens, that blew her top last night, or yesterday afternoon. We've known for about a week that she was going to go, so it came as no surprise when she erupted. There's no need to worry. We're safe. We are on the southwest side, and the crater opened up on the north, northeast side. I understand there are some east to west cracks, but so far the prevailing winds are with us, and most of it will fall in the forest, any of the dust that's coming from it. Okay, so much for the news from here. It is 6:30 in the morning. I am sewing curtains for the kitchen. I've played your tape several times, and it seemed like each time I heard something different on it. I have a stupid cat clawing at the door wanting in just a minute. But I hate election years here. All you get is politics. That's one thing I do like about Mount St. Helens blowing. At least it got us off the campaign trail as far as listening to the lies of politicians. I don't think Kennedy's doing that great a job. Carter. But he's much better than Teddy Kennedy. Catholic or no Catholic, Teddy Kennedy is a cheat and a liar. And we still haven't gotten the full details, and probably never will, of that girl at Chappaquiddy. So this is one of the reasons that I think it will hurt it in the long run. But I'm not too impressed with who the Republicans are running, Ronald Reagan or Bush, but all we hear about is inflation, and we not only hear about it, we feel it. It's probably the worst it has been since the Depression of the 30s. But all you can do is trust in God, and when you see a good sale, stock up on stuff. I think I'm about to run out of tape here. I'm not sure. I haven't checked it. I have to get my hair washed this morning, and I guess I better decide what I'm going to fix these two men for breakfast. I think I'll fix French toast. That sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, that's about it from here. God bless and take care.
Tapes between Oregon and Skerries in Dublin, sent to me by Sally Murray.
And write or send me another tape. I like the tapes better, Murray. I think you cover more on a tape than you do on paper. So, keep in touch.
As you've heard on the tapes, a lot of the children put in front of the microphones are shy and need plenty of prompting. Not so the children in these next tapes.
Hello, Grandpa. This is Eric. I have to tell you, a few days ago there was a puppet theatre in our school. And
they were sent to me by Eric Plotz. He recorded himself, his sister Frida, and his mother in the 1980s.
This is Frida, and we're making models in school of Mary, Joseph and Jesus for the crib, and I've done Jesus.
The tapes were sent to Eric's grandparents, who lived in the US.
Hello everybody again. Well, it took us an hour and a half to get through the first side of the tape, and it is now Thursday night, the December 7th. And we'll try and get this finished tonight, otherwise you mightn't get it in time for Christmas.
Included in the tapes, Eric's mother talks about a new piece of communications technology which had just come into the school where she worked.
We got a new fax machine in school, and our fax number is 977489. So if any of you have, if you have a fax number, you could send it to us, and then maybe if there was ever an urgent message, we could have a direct contact very quickly.
You mustn't have known, but we were all watching the Ireland versus Malta match in school.
Although this tape was from Christmas 1989, the big news at that time was that Ireland had just qualified for their first ever World Cup, Italia 90.
We weren't supposed to be watching it, but our class actually were allowed. We sneaked a television in, a mother did, and we watched the whole match, and Ireland won 2-0 and got into the World Cup final.
Tapes from Eric Plotz, recorded in the late 1980s. And Eric's tapes were actually recorded on cassette posts. These were a product sold by On Post. You could go into a post office and buy a padded jiffy bag from them. It had postage paid for anywhere in the world, and inside it had a blank audio cassette you could record on and send to your family and friends abroad. In 1991, On Post were interested in promoting the sale of these cassette post jiffy bags. So, they got in touch with the Gay Byrne Show on RTE Radio. The programme came up with the idea of asking listeners to send in cassettes of sound effects that they'd like to post to their relatives as a reminder of the life they'd left behind.
Dear Olive, I am giving you a slightly different version of a letter this time. I do hope you like it.
The competition was called Sounds Like Home.
Hi, Aunt Nora. Gay Byrne's running a competition for the best sound effect tapes for relatives living in America. Hang on, I'll go inside. Those bloody dogs are still as noisy as ever.
The winning cassette would get the listener a trip abroad to visit that relative.
And these are the second year students in Glenstall Abbey, and they made this tape particularly to say hello to their previous housemaster, Father Christopher, who's now gone to Nigeria.
Hello, Father Christopher from Glenstall.
This is Mark Cullen.
And James Carroll.
On behalf of a very sad second year since you went to Nigeria.
Okay, everybody up. Everybody up. Come on, let's have you up, lads. It's 25 to 7. It's time for a run. Go!
That new house master, Brother Dennis, that took over from you, he's really tough.
Sit down, close your eyes, relax and listen to a few sounds of home, which, incidentally, have not changed much since you sailed away from New York on the liner America on the 12th of October, 1955.
The tapes varied from simple to elaborate and short to long.
In your letters home, you often said you missed the smell of the turf fire. I can't bring you the smell, but come with me through the routine of lighting the fire. The first sound you will hear is the bolt of the turf shed door being drawn across. Remember, when you take one sod of turf from the pile, and next thing an avalanche of turf would fall down around you. I'm now filling up the bucket with turf, plus a few chirons to put on top of the fire.
Some people told the radio show that they used 3-in-1 hi-fi systems to record the audio. These were big units with separate speakers that had a record player, cassette player and radio in them. They also sometimes had a small hole in the front with a microphone. Imagine the idea of unplugging these and carrying them around the house to record the various sounds.
I spilled some ashes on the floor, so I have to get the old U-Bank carpet sweeper and sweep it up. Upstairs now, address the beds. Do you remember how the top of the stairs always squeaked as we tried to sneak it up to bed late at night, thinking our parents would not hear us, but the squeak always gave us away?
Mona McNamara from Castleconnell, County Limerick, with her tape for Nancy Barbera in New York. The creaky stair was a common theme.
I'm just going upstairs now. As you can see, Nora, the seventh step is still creaky.
This is Anne Littlewood's tape for her aunt Nora. Anne was in Dublin. Nora was in California.
You know, Nora, when you ring at Christmas, this is what we hear. Hi, Aunt Nora. Nora, do you remember what you forgot to take to America? Your music box. Last night I got Gerard snoring. Not as loud as usual, but loud enough. When you were here, Nora, do you remember the one sound you dreaded to hear the first thing in the morning? Get up for work. Happy New Year, Nora.
Rita Fleming in Beaumont, Dublin, in her tape, used one sound at the end that is mostly gone from Dublin homes nowadays.
Good morning, Adrian, Tony, Neil, Katrine, and Aoife. These are just a few sounds from home. I hope you'll enjoy them. Do you hear it, Tony? The washing machine's still going. So that's the bottles out. Good night, Adrian.
Rita Fleming's Sounds Like Home tape in 1991. Philomena Irwin and Ballymacoda and Cork really took to the idea. And among her domestic sounds, she recorded a sound more common in the 1990s, a home knitting machine.
By the way, I love, I will have your jumper knitted for you shortly. And Olive, I am sending you over some Geltie rashers. That is the fridge door, Olive, and it's one particular door. I try to keep it closed as often as possible. That is the garage door, and the car has been in the garage more often now since you have gone. I do hope that you enjoyed this unusual letter. So I'll sign off now, and love from Liam, myself, Patrick and Mary.
From Philomena Irwin and Ballymacoda in Cork, Olive was Philomena's niece in France. Another competition entry has no narration. It's extremely short but poignant nonetheless. That's because it's from a woman named Maeve to her husband in the US.
Bus is coming.
The winning tape in the Gay Bourne Show sound effects competition was very elaborate. It was made by Jerry Duffy and Cross Molina for his sister, Philomena McCluskey, who'd been living in the States for 40 years.
Hello, Philomena. I'm sending you a tape of sounds you grew up with around 40 years ago before you went to America. Sounds you don't hear very often nowadays. Remember Mammy putting on the fire on the old range? The old church bell we could hear clearly across the fields and River Deal. It's replaced now by an ugly sounding electric bell, but I got permission to give it a few rings for you. Box tea was delicious. It was nearly eaten before it left the pan, so scraping the potatoes on a piece of tin was worthwhile. I don't know, did you improve at this, Mickey? But I know you're not still annoyed at me for not wearing the shirt you made for me and Paddy Ditch's old singer. It was lovely on a winter's night to watch Daddy put in half soles and studs on the boots. And the dreadful Saturday morning cleaning the chimney. Everything was covered in soot. We didn't have a radio, but we tried our best to entertain ourselves with a comb and a piece of the Western paper. Desperate and playing on top of Old Smoky. A good day in the Wren Boys at Christmas, and we bought a French fiddle. Sitting on the farm in the kitchen was like a stage in Cargany Hall. Do you remember giving the young brothers a haircut with the clippers? You were good, but a little bit dangerous. Philomena, it was great fun being the oldest members of the family and time to stop the babies crying. Was this the 8th or 9th? Can you remember? God bless us all and God bless mum and dad.
When the family rose
through thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
After listening to Tom Brand telling ghost stories, running up to bed scared of our lives. And Daddy knocking on the ceilings. Well, Philomena, time changed, but the clock is still ticking away in the kitchen, and I'll have to finish. Good night, and God bless you and your family.
Jerry Duffy's competition winner from RTÉ Radio in 1991.
I just stepped in to see you all. I'll only stay a while.
I've listened to all these tapes several times, and each time there's something different. Personal references or insights into the history of the time.
I'm happy to be back.
More than that, though, you're aware that as you're listening, some of the children are now middle-aged or older, and many of the adults are long gone.
Realised there's only a few seconds actually left on this tape. I was talking away here, and suddenly I realised that the tape had run out. So all this I have left space to say is that I hope you will all have a very happy Christmas. We'll be thinking about you, and I hope this gets there on time. And that's about it. So goodbye to everybody.
The these tapes were sent as gifts to those separated by emigration, but now they are gifts to us, separated by time. Thanks to everyone for sharing them.
That about wraps it up for this evening. So until the next time, I'll say buenas noches.
Well, I'll finish off now, hoping to get you all the best of form, Betty.
So I think I'll just call it a day and finish up. Just say goodbye to everybody and love you all, and looking forward so much to seeing you in June, please God. Good night. God bless.